Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Valenti and Rico show. I am Stoney in for Mr. Valenti. And we got Hatchet, we got Kenny. Thank you, Jeremy Otto, for the update. And Rico, how the hell are you? Short show, but you know what? They won the game again.
Yeah, you know what? I do wonder if all the angst and the, oh my goodness, look at it, we suck, four-game winning streak, sweep the Diamondbacks, is all well with the world.
Yeah, it's incredible, really, that, you know, you try to tell people, it's baseball. The thing that bothered me about their stretch that they were going through was it wasn't like they just couldn't hit or they just couldn't pitch or they couldn't feel. It was everything. Mm-hmm. And you thought everything was going down the old poop chute, which, look, and they've rebounded nicely. And I'll throw some numbers at you. First, the important number that you need to know about is 248-539-9797 for texts and phone calls. If you're coming back from Comerica Park, we'd love to hear from you. You get to see it with your own eyes, up close and personal. But here's some numbers. They've won four straight games. They just swept the Arizona Diamondbacks 24-5 in the series, the three-game series. In their four straight wins, they've outscored their opponents, which was the one game against Toronto and the three against Arizona, 34-9. Now, in the six straight losses, I'm not talking about, you know, even they had a...
Wait, which six straight losses?
The last six straight losses.
Okay. They had two.
Yes. Well, they had one win in between. But yes, the six straight losses, they were outscored 40-13. And they just completely turned it around like that. So which Tigers are they? Are they the Tigers that we saw the last three games against a team that we know it already, you know, is on the selling market, including one of their better players, Sanchez, who we'll get to later, or Suarez, I should say. And the other thing is we got to see guys come back and play well. Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah.
Andy Ibañez came back. He played well. How much do we take from this? And we got to give credit, you know, his Comerica Park debut the other Monday night was Melton, and he pitched very well, obviously. And today, Chris Paddock, six innings, three hits, five strikeouts, one run, no walks.
So I was right. They got their starting pitcher. So, yeah, that's all they needed. That's it, David. They got it.
No.
So we're done.
No.
Here's what happened. What do I think this team is, Stoney? I don't think they're as good as this four-game winning streak. I don't think they were as bad as their losing streak. What it showed me is the best way, they are very streaky. When things are going good, they're great. But when things fall apart, they just look lost. Now, what you hope is they ride this thing throughout the rest of the season and the playoffs because, you know, going back last year, everything was looking great. Looked like they were about to go ahead and move past the Guardians, and then it didn't.
Right.
And once it – what bothers me with this team is once things start going bad, I don't know, unless it just so happens to coincide with a Skubal start, but we even saw he lost one. That's really the only thing that can fix it. Because when they're in the middle of just a quagmire, they can't get out of their own way. That's the thing that bothers me.
But as most people who follow more teams than the Tigers closely, we could say that about every team. It looked like Boston was completely dead. Then they went on a huge streak, and they went on a losing streak. You could, every team, the Yankees went through a streak where they couldn't score runs. The Dodgers recently. The Tigers are basically just every other team in baseball.
I guess, but I would say. But
the other team like has bipolar. Stars. That's right. The difference.
Right, so you know that, okay, well, maybe this guy can come out there. Maybe it'll be Mookie Betts. Maybe. With this team, man, it's bipolar. When they're good, they're great. When they're bad, oh boy.
248-539-9797. Of course, you have the deadline that is will end in 26 hours. 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll know if the Tigers did anything. And you heard Jeremy in the update say that sources have told Mark Feinstein of MLB.com. Four teams are the primary suitors for Suarez, and that is the Seattle Mariners, the Chicago Cubs, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, they're not making any moves. That's great to hear their name in that, but I don't think it's happening anymore.
I don't think they're making a Suarez move. I will think I would almost bet anything they get another reliever.
I don't think they're making any more moves. I think they've already made their move. Oh. I truly think they've made their move already. And their move is paid off.
Well, wait. If you're going to say the move paid off, which, yeah, one game, and I don't think that's enough for them to sit there and say, oh, we don't need anything else. Their bullpen, if you're going to go based on that, okay, Canely has given up home runs in his last two starts again. They definitely need help in the bullpen. I don't think Scott Harris is blind. There are so many relievers out there. Will they get a Bednar, the top one? Probably not, but they're going to get somebody.
Let me ask you this. Tony, hold on real quick, David. I think where I'm coming from, and I don't want to speak for you, David, it's not what we want them to do. No, it's what they're going to do. I would love for them to go out there and really start bringing in some bodies and really start adding to this team and making that push. I think that they've made their move, and I think they're going to be happy with that move they made, especially now they can sit back and say, see, we got an extra arm. We got an extra starting pitcher. Or when the playoffs come, you know, middle reliever, you can bring them out to pen. I still don't see the sense of urgency with this organization that you do with other organizations.
Because I think they're going to make the move because Bednar, will they give up a top five prospect? Probably not, okay? But there are other relievers out there who are decent enough that are better than some of the ones they already have that I think they will give up, you know, a middle-of-the-road prospect and get.
See, but here's the thing. It's still based on the story that came out at the end of last week that if they make a move, it's going to be not a major move. Bednar, would you be considered a major move? Right,
that's why I don't
Suarez,
think he's going to do that.
A major move. None of those are happening.
I agree there.
And I think they've made their minor move already.
No, because they didn't get a reliever. I think they're going to get one more. And I think this move, the Paddock move, was predicated on all of a sudden Reese Olson getting hurt. So I think because of that, he's going to make one other move and get another bullpen arm in there. He has to.
David, what makes you so sure about this? That's my question. Because you've been saying this definitively all day now, even pre-show. And I just wonder where your head's at.
Yeah, I just listening to things, kind of putting the tea leaves together. The puzzle pieces, I think, are there. I just don't think they're making a move. If they were, I feel they would have already done one.
No, I think a lot of these teams wanted to play today because there's no game. There's one game before
like
the deadline tomorrow.
Yeah, one game at 1:05 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the Yankees and the Rays. And people want to make sure that nobody gets hurt before they decide what to do. So I am convinced he will at least do something. Whether it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a major move, but it will be one other bullpen arm, in my opinion. You know, if you've been listening to me over the past 30 years, I'm wrong a lot. Okay. So that happens.
It's, you know what? And as I found out in this business, if you're right all the time, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
You should be out in Las Vegas making a lot of money.
Exactly.
So, will they make another move? I'm going to split the difference and say, yeah, I do. Maybe another minor arm.
Yeah,
now
yes.
That it looks like Cobb is just not going to play this year.
Although, I don't know. He was healthy yesterday in his rehab start. So I'm not going to rule him out. Whether that's going to make a difference or not, I don't know. He's more of a starter anyway.
I guess looking at what Evan Petzl put out there earlier today, it kind of just sounded like a guy that's realizing his limitations. So yeah. I don't expect him. So maybe at some point you get another arm for middle relief, another arm coming out the pen. Nothing major.
Yeah.
But that's why I'll split the difference with you two. Are they done? No. But it's not going to be something where we're going to hit the breaking news sounder and
correct.
Say, oh, my God, they just got Kenny Cott. Nah, we're good.
Well, we know Kenny can't go. He can't be a starter because he can't go nine innings. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. We will take your phone calls, your texts, all that coming up next. It is the Valenti Enrico Show with me, Stoney, on 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Valenti Show with Rico. Stoney here in for Mike, 248-539-9797. Before we go to the phones, David, do we have any ticket texts?
Sure do. Four straight wins, so does that mean the Tigers stand pat? There are still issues across the board. Come on, Harris, part with some prospects. That is Tom in KPAC. Mm-hmm. Someone else, Pete McComb, says, I'm going to call it now. The division is over. We have a very soft schedule moving forward. Hopefully, we pick somebody up at the deadline. We may even get the number one overall. See if we play well. Someone else says the Tigers are just like Jared Goff. When he's great, he's great. When he's off, he's off. He's horrible. Right now, we'll see what we are.
That's a good analogy. It's not a bad analogy.
I think Goff just took a stray.
Yeah, he did. He had, you know, two horrible games, and they won one of them.
Someone says, David, you're wrong. I say the Tigers make two more moves, a right-handed bat and a relief pitcher. That is from Richard. Unfortunately, I don't think they will make another move. And it's very frustrating because, like the Lions, we can go to the big dance now and we chose to do nothing. Just insert small pieces.
Well, unlike very much like the Lions, it's not that they chose nothing. It's the fact that they believe in what they already have. Now, everybody always wants more. Everybody always wants to add. But both of these two organizations, Stoney, they value who's inside the walls and the guys that are going to war with them, and they believe in those guys. And I think that's why I think Harris is content, and like it or not, people, he loves what he has on that farm, and he is looking forward to keeping a maintaining a success with this team and not just going all in right now.
I understand that. But I think that's why I don't think they're going to do anything major, but I do think he's smart enough to realize that they're good enough, you know, that they're going to get in the playoffs and anything can happen, that they do need, especially playoff baseball, another decent reliever, above average reliever. It's not necessarily going to be Bednar. There were two relievers who were traded today, by the way. Tyler Rogers went from the Giants to the Mets, and his twin brother, Taylor, went from the Pirates from the Reds in the Cabrian Hayes trade. So, you know, that's two other relievers that are, they're not huge great guys, but, you know, the people that maybe with somebody the Tigers might have been interested. I have no idea. 248-539-9797. I have faith that Scott Harris will at least do at least one more thing. Call me in, moron. That's okay. Let's go to Romulus. Rico, good morning. Or good afternoon, I should say.
Absolutely. Good morning. well, afternoon. Yeah. I got you. Here's the thing. I'm an old guy, 68, soon to be 69. Here's the thing. Based on what I've seen, and I really, really hate to be negative, and y'all probably going to hang up on me.
Nah, we're here. We're here for you. Besides, I like your name.
Well, actually, it's Federico. But close enough. Federico means rich in Spanish. Here's the thing. They need another bat. I have confidence in their bullpen. And definitely they're starting pitching. I just wish they wouldn't let Tara Skubal go. But just like they did with Verlander and Scherzer, I guarantee you at the end of next season, Skubal's gone. Go ahead. I'll listen.
Well, I think Skubal is gone as well. And I agree that it would be nice to get another bat. I think they're going to get another bullpen arm. But they are going to get another bullpen arm. Because the price for Suarez, I think, is going to be really high. Unless the more time goes on, maybe it drops a little bit. I don't know.
Look, here's the thing. In about, 25 and a half hours or so, Stoney, I'll be shocked if they go out there and do something. Will you be upset if Paddock was the only move?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If they don't add a reliever by the time we go off the air tomorrow, yeah, I'll be upset.
Okay. Benchit Stoney. I'm almost rooting for radio for Fred.
Yeah, because it's an obvious need. If they don't get Suarez, well, I'd be a little disappointed, yes, but it's reality. I don't think they have enough ammunition that they're willing to give up. I don't really necessarily, for a rental, care to give up a top five prospect. If they anything deeper than that, yeah, I would. And I don't know, if it's two of those guys.
No, you're right. I probably wouldn't. Not for a rental. Now, somebody with some term.
Yes, that's a different story.
I'll do that. Yes. But yeah, for a rental, no, probably not.
All right, let's go to Drew. You're on 97 on the ticket.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey Drew.
I just, in my gut, I just don't think Scott Harris is going to do it. I thought when they hired him, being a prodigy of Theo Epstein, that he would be aggressive. You look at what the Cubs did in 2016. They went out, traded for Chapman, and won the World Series. I just don't understand why he won't, like, part with these prospects to get us over the top within this two-year window with Scooble for the team that we have.
Well, I think the reason is, for let's just talk about Clark and McGonagall. He doesn't feel, and most baseball people don't feel, it's worth giving up one of those two to get Eugenio Suarez, who's only going to be here for two months.
Because those two are projected to be, you know, solid major league players.
Right.
Which I would understand if he thinks that they can re-sign Scooble, but by all reports, it's Scooble's going to go to free agency. So if he thought, oh, we can sign Scooble, and maybe when they come up in 2-3 years, that's our prime window, but I just, Scooble's going to end up in pinstripes, in my opinion. So I just don't understand it when, like, we have the same two eyes. Scott Harris and I, we all have two eyes. We saw the bullpen today. Canley isn't reliable.
Right, that's...
He gave up the run today, so why not go stack your bullpen, get a bat, and let's run to the World Series?
I think the bullpen is what's going to happen. I think they are going to make a bullpen move. They are.
I hope you're right, Stoney, because if not, I will be vastly disappointed tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Yes. All right, 248-539-9797. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's a story on MLB.com, and it's just somebody's opinion. Trades that they'd like to see teams make. And here's one for the Tigers. Now, this, I might do this. The Tigers would trade their number three prospect, Bryce Rainier, who was their number one pick last year, shoulder surgery a few months ago. He's the 34th overall prospect in baseball. Outfielder Chris Rodriguez, their eighth prospect. Max Anderson, their ninth. And their 14th prospect, Jake Miller. That's a lot. That's, you're talking about 3, 8, 9, and 14. For Mitch Keller, a right-handed starter for the Pirates, and reliever David Bednar. That's a lot. But you have Keller signed through 2028 and Bednar through next year.
Honestly, that's a no-brainer to me.
You make that trade?
Yes. Yeah. That's one. It's not the same, but Stoney, you know what it's like when you're doing like the fantasy football or baseball stuff and somebody sends you the trade proposal. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hit accept fast enough if I'm Detroit. If that's what you want and that's what I get, yes. Yes.
Because they have, McGonagall's going to probably play shortstop, so you don't, as good as Rainer might be, you don't need him there unless you want to keep him there to get somebody even better.
It kind of goes with what the caller Drew just said. I'm looking at the next 2 years, and then I'm looking at the team past the next 2 years.
Right.
Next 2 years, I got Scooble. After that, I don't think I have Scooble anymore, right. And I'm going to have to think differently. But right now, yes. Because those four guys that you just mentioned, they're not gonna be playing for the big ball club in the next 2 years.
Especially Rainer.
So
and Rodriguez, Anderson maybe.
As bad as it sounds, God bless them, I don't care. They can go and I'll work. If they come back and torture me 5 years from now, I'll live with it. And chances are he'll be fired anyway.
If they don't win the World Series,
no, or at least get to the World you're worried Series. About something 5 years from now, and you may not even be the president of the team.
That's
so
true.
So win now, get what you can now, and then worry about it later.
248-539-9797. Tom, you're on 97. Won the ticket.
Hi, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
Good. Today I was listening to the fact that Carson Anderson was just. Talk about Quan's more available, and now everybody wants Quan, the outfielder from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind that, but I want somebody else from Cleveland, and that would probably solve your bullpen for the playoffs.
Cade Smith.
And no. Shane Bieber is coming off Tommy John, and he is due back mid-August. He just pitched 4 innings for Double A, I guess, a couple nights ago
against Erie, and he gave up hits to McGonagall and Clark.
Well,
I know,
big deal or whatever. I mean, we're talking about Bieber, and I think he's a free agent the following year. I'm not sure about that. You'd have to look it up. But that could be a potential fifth starter down the stretch and a big-time bullpen arm in the playoffs.
What are you willing to give up?
Well, I don't know. If there was a package deal of Kwan and Bieber to start, I would give Parker Meadows up in a heartbeat.
Oh, so would I. Who wouldn't?
I know, but go, you know, and then go from there. I wouldn't know exactly how to build that up because obviously everybody rates their prospects totally different or how they look at them. And I'm sure it would take a couple, but I would definitely kick the tires on Shane Bieber. Maybe
we'll look during the break. I want to know how many more years Kwan has under control.
I think he's got two.
Because if he has two more years after this year, I'd forgetting about even getting Bieber. Meadows for Kwan, one for 101,
and he's
a no-brainer.
And he just and it always seems like he just finds a way to just burn the tires.
Yes. He pushes, yes, exactly. You're getting a really good player. And you're extinguishing a Tiger killer. 97.1, The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Jeremy mentioned that story, Gilbert Arenas, right?
I don't know what's illegal about having a poker party at your house. Like
hosting high-stakes poker games and running other illegal gambling activities. Now, California is one of the states where it's not legal to gamble. Like we have here.
I get that, but how is that any different from the four of us and we invite Jeremy over and we're all just playing poker every Friday night?
I don't know. Somebody might be, you know, maybe Rieger, who plays poker all the time, it might be illegal.
I guess I
don't think, because you've heard stories that the feds, the cops have raided places where they have, you know, gambling operations, even still in Michigan and other states where there is legalized gambling. I just don't think you can do it without.
I guess I'm thinking, was it the other things that they were gambling? Because to me, poker, like if you're doing it amongst friends, it's like fantasy football with money on the line. Like, okay. It has to be more to that story.
I think I might know why he was arrested. I mean, because it sounds like he was running this thing like a casino. He had staff of chefs, valets, women. I think they probably thought that he was doing his own casino.
Now,
and that's probably where the fine line is.
And that's just it. Now, I think you can hold a private poker game, but it's when the house takes a cut. Now you're running into casino. Now that's the illegal part. But so long as it's one of those winner take all, or you know what, at the end of the night, there's no money left over. Everybody goes home with something or whatever.
I don't know.
It's okay. But
yeah, it says that it was a profit off of all of it by taking
a rake.
So it sounds like that's the problem. The
okay. That's when you're even like if we did that and all of a sudden I took 5% off the top, that now I'm running illegal gambling.
What is it with these former NBA players between Gilbert Arenas and Marcus Morris? I mean, Gilbert Arenas, he had his own podcast, which is really good. He's entertaining. He's got a great personality. And you got Marcus Morris, who was trying to make a name for himself on First Take, and he's in trouble.
Was he trying to make a name for himself, or did he need the money?
Well, doesn't make a difference. He was decent on television. By the way, the Tyler Rogers that the Mets got from the Giants, the submarine reliever, I don't know all their prospects, but all I'm reading is the Mets paid a heavy price for him with two of their high prospects and another player.
See, that's not what you want to hear if you're the Tigers.
No.
Because now that means that the price is now going up. If you were going to make the trade, you made the trade like when they did for the guy they had pitching today, price was low. But yeah, as you get closer to the deadline, that was my biggest fear, was one of the New York teams just start saying, you know what, take anybody you want, and now your top five, you're going to have to part with one of those. And that's why I say I don't see Scott Harris moving off of any of those five. Right.
I don't know if it was a top five. I have no idea. Everybody says that they paid a steep price for him. Anyway, let's go to Daniel in South Bend. You're a 97.1.
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you?
Hear me out. I do not want to sell the future at all. I do not want to. I would be, like, if we get a good little trade, that's cool, an obvious one, yeah. But I do not, like, even any of the top, I don't know, the top 30, like, in order. But none of the younger ones, none of, like, the 21, 22-year-olds. I know there's a lot of good ones. Bryce Daniel, Lorenzo, Clark, McGonagall, even some of the pitchers getting a little older there, like 23, 24. But I do not want to get rid of any of them. Like, we fell down this long. We've been building it for a few years now. I think the future is unbelievably bright.
But let me ask you, Daniel, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that if they added, let's say, one more pretty good reliever and, let's say, Suarez, or they find some other right-handed bat for the price, you know, we're just BSing here. Do you think that takes them very close to at least winning a World Series?
Yeah, 100%. I think we are now.
So I'm going to stop there. So you do.
Yeah.
The prospects that you mentioned are all great prospects. Don't disagree with you, everybody in baseball, not just the Tigers loves them. Right. But history shows how many of those top five are going to be significant Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, no, I 100% I agree. But even knowing that, that's still a risk I'm willing to take.
Okay.
Because who says the guy that we get puts us in? I still don't believe, like, even anybody that's feasible that we could get is, we might go to the AL as is, we're still not going to beat the Dodgers or the Phillies or the Mets. Like, we're not the best team in October in a 7-game series. There's absolutely no way that we are the best team in baseball. You know, yeah, sports things can happen. But I would not wager even 25% of our future on that. I think the future is so unbelievably bright. I really do. And I don't see there's any
where
Aaron Judge or
okay, no, but where
that's never gonna happen.
But after next year, where's your ace pitcher coming from? Because he won't be here, Scooble.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that sucks if he's gone. I still think we have a great Scooble starts every 5 games. You know, we can right now. We got 18 games above 500. Take every 5th game. We, you know, however you want to break that down. What are we? We're gonna be 12 games above 500. We're not at football right now.
You follow you?
You know
that,
what I mean,
that's good that you followed and you believe in the prospects. That's good. I hope you're right. I hope these guys become great. But I'm looking at the here and now, and they still need tweaking. I don't think it's major. You know, Suarez would be major. I just don't think they're going to get him. They need another reliever, and I think they're going to get another reliever. That's just what I think, anyway. 248-539-9797. What?
We care what you think.
I know. Look, he is right, and we know that there's no guarantee you're going to win or make the World Series either as is or if you even go for it. I do think in a weird way, a lot of us, and I'm included to a certain extent, if they get to the World Series without it, okay, then you're not going to sit there and blame Scott Harris. However, if they don't make any moves and lose in the first round or whatever, then you will blame Scott Harris. So I think I trust him enough that his eyesight is better than mine. Now, mine's pretty good, thanks to Dr. Yaldo. But but if he sees what goes on with this bullpen, he's going to make another move. He has to.
Does he?
Yes.
Or is that what you want? Is that what little Stoney is sitting there screaming on the inside?
I just have faith that somebody in that position knows there is a void. And a void that can be, fixed, but he could help
unless
out.
Unless he feels that, you know what? Hey, I got Melton. I got this. I got enough. I can manipulate these guys. I can move them around. I can see what happens.
That was actually going to be my, because I'm thinking, I know it's not back into the bullpen, but Paddock and Melton could be used in that bullpen in the playoffs.
Because you're going to go a three-man
rotation. Their answer.
Yes, David, you're going to go a three-man rotation probably when you get to the playoffs. So now those guys are your arms that you're adding to the bullpen, whether it's, you know, a middle relief or coming in spot duty. You're trying to get them some time so that they can get used to this, especially, you know, Melton. We'll see what happens.
All right, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. David, help me. Are we breaking now? Are you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sometimes I lose control of my own clock. 97 won the ticket. Tigers win their fourth in a row. They sweep the Diamondbacks in the three-game series, outscoring them 24-5. They are off tomorrow, and they resume their play Friday night in Philadelphia, where they're going to go up against Suarez, Wheeler, and Sanchez. The highest whip of those three is 1.17. And Tigers will be pitching Flaherty, Scooble, and Melton. All right. We'll get back to the Tigers, Riley Green superstitions. But first, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for football today.
College. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, okay.
So, wow. So that means been hard at work during the show here.
Yeah. So that means we got to get into the old drop, huh?
You did mean hard, huh?
Okay.
Let's get to it, guys. College football. I want to go back a ways here.
Oh, good.
So, which college coaches have the most first-round NFL draft picks all time?
Wow.
All time. There are no current coaches on this list.
So no Kirby Smart?
No. Wow. Not yet, at least. So let's go through it, guys. We got 10 guys here.
All right. Guess. I'm going to go with the obvious, Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, that was a very, very obvious guess, and he is at number one with 52 first-round draft picks.
There was a time.
And it started at Michigan State.
Yes. There was a time when Notre Dame had tons of number one draft picks. So I'm going to say that Lou Holtz somehow fits in that top 10.
Lou Holtz is number eight.
Okay.
Good job.
With 21 first-round draft picks in his career.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the gum-chewing coach who is now out in the desert. Give me Pete Carroll.
Surprisingly, Pete Carroll is not on this list.
Okay, that's one strike for me.
I thought for sure he would, yes.
I'm going to go to another one who's had a ton of them. Not recently because he's not alive anymore, but I'm going back to the late but great Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno is number two on this list with 33.
When you coach a lot of years.
You got Franco Harris there. Yes.
Lydell Mitchell.
Courtney Brown. Huge range. So, yes.
Todd Blackledge.
Yes.
And this is just number one.
First round
selection. Yes.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson is not on this list, but there is a coach from the Hurricanes on here.
Wow. Would that
Snellenberger?
Snellenberger also coached where? Louisville. So I don't know. Maybe, but I
don't think you're going to get it. It is Larry Coker.
Oh wow. Yes. The Ray Lewis. Okay.
Yep. He has tied for ninth. He has 20. So yes, you had the Ed Reed, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, you know, that range. Yes, a lot of first round picks in that time.
Okay. Sticking with the state of Florida, since he coached a long time and it worked for me as far as the Lou Holtz prediction and the Joe Paterno one, you got to go with one Bobby Bowden, don't you?
Bobby Bowden was number three. He is three on this list with 32. Deion Sanders, Derek Brooks, Walter Jones, Warwick Dunn.
So we have what, 1, 2, 3, and 8? Is that what we have?
You have 1, 2, 3, 8.
I got one. That was it. You got the rest.
Just to give you a hint, because you mentioned USC earlier. There is a USC coach on here.
Uh-huh. I knew that would be.
There's a USC.
Another hint for you was we mentioned it in a blitz earlier this week regarding who wore it best. They chose Keyshawn Johnson.
Right.
So he was a first round selection. So if you remember who his coach was.
Yeah. And he actually, if I'm not mistaken, he coached there twice.
He did.
Yeah. That's Chuck.
John Robinson.
John Robinson.
Yeah. He coached here twice because his very first number one overall selection was Ricky Bell in 1977.
Mm-hmm. Running back.
And then he later on came back.
Bucks.
Coach Keyshawn Johnson, 1996. First overall.
We have to go to the pit down south in southern Ohio. Woody Hayes.
You are killing it here. Woody Hayes is number four with 27 first-round selections.
David,
so Stoney yourself, you've gotten one, two, three, four. Right,
he's gotten them all.
Four,
no, Rico
eight.
Got the first.
I got one. I got the easiest
yeah.
one.
You did get number one, yes. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if he... I'm trying to think. I guess, was Trestle there long enough to get enough... First rounders.
Maybe.
You're in the right range. Wrong coach.
Oh, yeah. No.
Earl Bruce?
No. Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
Urban Meyer.
Yes.
Yes. With 23 first round selections from his years. With the Gators, he had Reggie Nelson, Percy Harvin, Joe Hayden,
right.
Pouncey Twins. Then you have Ohio State, Nick Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, Taylor Decker, Denzel Ward, Chase Young, Joe Burrow. There's a lot. Now, they credit him Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow technically was LSU as a first-round selection.
It's true. So you can take that one away. But still, I got another one.
All right.
I'll give you one more, and then I'll reveal the rest.
There's a school that's had lots of them. I don't know if he coached there long enough because Fairbanks was there before, but I'll just, what the hell? Barry Switzer?
Barry Switzer is not on this list. Let me reveal the rest of the list to you.
Okay.
Tom Osborne.
Oh, Nebraska.
Tied at nine with 20.
Yes.
Along with John Cooper.
Also at Ohio State.
Also has 20.
And Arizona State. I'm sure he might have had one or two first round picks out of that.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. You got Larry Coker, Lou Holtz, John Robinson. The one you were missing?
Give me the school. Or is that just too obvious?
He's coached at two programs. I'll give you that. He coached in the Big 12. And he coached in the ACC.
Mac Brown.
Good way to go.
Tied for six with 22. Ricky Williams, Leonard Davis, Casey Hampton, Roy Williams. I mean, there's a lot here. Drake May was also one for him at North Carolina.
So it was Sam Howell, too, then, right? Or Sam Howell wasn't the first round. He was second round. Right?
Correct. Yeah. You have Earl Thomas. I mean, there's a lot here.
Yes.
So
all right.
Have a little fun with coaches. Sending players to the first round. That's just first round.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a list out there somewhere with overall sending them to the NFL, but that's pretty good.
That's really, really
good.
That's
really, really good there. That is your college football blitz.
Boy, you make one mistake in a read. Leave one word out.
welcome to my world. Make a mistake and everybody just talks about it for years and decades and things like that. The telephone number is 248-539-9797. We're talking Tigers, trade deadline. Thank you very much. The trading deadline is now 25 hours away. And we will see what happens. I believe they're definitely going to get another reliever. Whether it's going to be a top-of-the-line reliever like Bednar, I don't think. But they're going to get another guy who will be very useful without having to go too far in their prospect pool. The fact that the Giants basically are saying, all right, we're done. We got rid of our best or second best reliever, who basically is a rental, and the Mets paid a lot for him. I think their top prospect they gave up was their 10th, their 15th, and some other player. But the fact that the Mets took care of, maybe if that's the only reliever they get, that takes another team out of the equation. Who knows? We'll see what's going on, because I think there's tons of relievers available. There's not tons of bats. That's why the Suarez price is steeper than most would think for a rental. And coming up in a momentarily, we're going to talk about the what could be the latest craze going around this city if the Tigers keep winning games. Noah, you're on 97 on the ticket.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, this is kind of the window that I think we really need to just kind of go all in, you know, as a Tigers fan, and I've been, you know, watching around and had went through some tough years, as we all have, you know, this is the year that we kind of have to kind of look at the big picture here. And unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, like, I don't think Scoob is going to be coming back. You've mentioned it, and I've been, you know, holding off on saying it. But when you kind of look at it from a business side of things, you know, the dominance that we see from him is only going to last, you know, with him being 30, maybe 2-3 more years max. So you got to capitalize on what you got right now. So I wouldn't mind if they would be a little bit more aggressive and be willing to dig deep. I wouldn't like to see guys like Max Clark or McConnell go, but, you know, number three or Larizino, I can't remember.
Laranza. I'm okay with him leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of that might be a leverage point for other teams, as they might be like, well, like, that guy's chump change for us. But, you know, I think we could leverage him. And I'd love to see a guy like Bednar. I know he's a premier reliever, but, you know, I think that's kind of the spark we need. I think offensively, you could contribute a little bit more, but I think we're just really well-rounded. And we have guys like, I think getting carry back is huge, because that takes a lot of pressure off guys like Riley, who I think have been kind of feeling the pressures of maybe feeling like they need to do more than they have. But, yeah, those are just kind of my thoughts. I really think this is the time to go in. This is the window. And, you know, if that means kind of sacrificing the future per se, I mean, like you said, like the chances that those guys come up and be impact players, historically speaking, hasn't really worked out. So I think there's guys that you need to keep, but at the same time, shouldn't be afraid to do it right now.
Yeah, they shouldn't be afraid, no doubt about it. All right, I'm going to give you a name based on a tweet from John Paul Morosi.
Okay.
He says right now, a certain pitcher is available on the trade market. He's on an expiring contract. Out of respect to him, a future Hall of Famer, the Giants are open to work out a deal if it makes sense for him and the organization. Of course, I'm talking about Justin Verlander. Now, forget the sentiment card, because I don't think Scott Harris has any sentiment towards Justin Verlander. AJ Hinch might, because he managed him in Houston. So forget the sentiment. Oh, it'd be great if he had. Let's look at it. He's had a horrible year. However, in his last 10 innings, he has given up. I'm looking here. Hold on a second.
One earned run in 10 innings.
That's 10 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, 6 walks, which isn't very good. But look, the season is, his ERA is 4.53. So he's not had a good season. His whip is 1.49. I contend, okay?
Let me ask you this before you give me. If his last name wasn't Verlander, would you want him here?
If it's a longtime future Hall of Famer who's pick another name, yeah. I'm not saying I definitely want him. I said it's something they can consider.
All of a sudden, the Orioles say, hey, you can have Charlie Morton. There you go. You taking him?
Possibly, yeah. Okay. For whatever they, you know, you're not going to give up a big prospect for him. That's for damn sure.
Okay, I'm just saying, I just didn't know if it was because it was Verlander.
No, here's the thing with Verlander. I could be wrong. I do believe that you're looking at it, well, no, they don't need him to start. I think Verlander is good enough right now, even at age 41, where he's that guy who can give you an inning every other game. You know what I mean? He could just put him in the pen. A little different than Smoltz was when he got shifted to the pen for a little bit. But that's...
Yeah, but he became a lights-out closer where...
Right. Verlander could. I don't know, for one inning. I'm not asking him to pitch more than an inning. It's just something to consider. I'm not going crazy about it. Thinking, oh, wow, no, Justin Verlander's available.
Tony, it's why we're here. Yes. We're just talking this through.
Exactly.
My thing is, I just wonder if it's Verlander.
Yeah.
If it was Joe Smith. He hasn't been pitching well. We're taking his last 10 innings. That's like saying, well, you know, look at Melton, his last 10 innings and what he's done.
Right, I know.
Before we get to ticket text, he doesn't have the body of work of Verlander.
Right.
What I am saying is Verlander is clearly on the downside of his career.
Yes.
So, yes, if you're parting ways with your 13th or 14th best prospect, and that's all it costs you.
Right.
Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
Right, right. Now you're not going to go crazy for this.
David, it'll sell tickets. His comeback, the ballpark. I mean, people are, imagine his first game back as a starter. David, why are you laughing at me?
Because right before you brought this up, I looked at Kenny, saw the news, looked at Kenny, and I said, this is all Detroit needs. This. We love nostalgia. Bring a guy back.
That's why I said it has nothing to do with who he was.
This should never be done. I get it. It wouldn't cost a lot. Yeah. I understand it. He sucks. He can't help this team.
He sucks as a starter.
He can't help this team in the bullpen. I would never do this, dude. Okay. I would never do this. Everyone's going to want it because it's Verlander. Please, please don't do this.
Well, Scott Harris has no allegiance to him, so that's why. But, you know, it won't happen because.
This is typical Detroit. Well, everyone's going to call now and text. Hold on. I want Verlander back.
Hold on. David, it won't happen because you think Scott Harris is going to do nothing, so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, you're right. Thank you.
Okay, you don't have to worry about it. Go to sleep tonight. Worry. Nothing's going to happen, so you don't have to worry about Justin Verlander. Let's go to MJ. You're 97 on the ticket.
All right, well, I'm just hoping that Eugenio Suarez is still in the city. But what I also wanted to say was I'm pretty sure that everybody's going to start growing mustaches out here.
Well,
because we're going to need to start petting those to get the boys back.
That's more Detroit than Verlander coming back.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know about petting them. Yeah, okay.
So you're obviously not saying literally don't let Sanchez leave town, right? Or Suarez, excuse me.
No, I'm saying literally.
Well, it's not that he's a free agent. It's not like a free agent comes to visit and you meet with him and you just have to, you know, you don't let him get on that next plane or leave your office because you basically say, "This is, oh, I'll keep going until you sign the contract." This is a trade. They can't do that.
I mean, I thought they were trying to break his hand so that he'd be in the hospital for the rest of the week.
Yeah, well, we talked about that the other day.
I don't think that happened.
No. Look, who knows? Maybe other teams don't want to pay the price as well. Look, here's the other thing, and don't take this the wrong way, but if you have Suarez and you already have Riley Green, and we'll get to his mustache in a second. You have two of the leading guys. Riley Green obviously leads the American League. Suarez is like 10th in the National League right now at strikeouts. So you're going to have guys who just strike out a lot.
Feast or famine.
Yeah, so just you have to keep that in mind as well. All right. He brought up the superstition that's going around town. What everybody needs to do, according to some Tiger fans, and we'll tell you that. Coming up next, 97.1 248-539-9797. It's the Valenti and Rico Show. I'm Stoney, in for Mike. And we are approximately 25 hours and 43 minutes. Is that, I got that right? Or 24 hours. No, 24 hours and 43 minutes.
There we go.
To the trading deadline. And that's all what the... A lot of people, I just choked on something.
We're losing him. He's going down. Stoney, are you there? Okay.
We can say whatever we want right now.
We really can. Okay, so I think where Stoney was going with this. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay.
Yes. Piece of licorice that followed me into the studio and didn't get all the way down. All right, we'll leave it at that.
Oh, no!
Now, you're really trying for me to say something that you don't want me to say. All right. Riley Green.
Like you need some superstition now, huh?
Yes, exactly. Riley Green has a mustache, and it has brought good luck to this team. And basically what they do right now is they touch the mustache. Now, I believe David Rieger got us some sound because I heard playing it this morning. Riley Green talking about it. And Rico, how superstitious are you as a person?
Not very. Not very superstitious.
Have you ever done something like you're watching a Spartan game and they're doing really well?
Yes.
And you do not want to get up from the same chair that you're watching, or you want to do something, make sure to keep the karma going?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because in the 2021 game, the Kenneth Walker game, I went down near the end of the game. State was losing. I saw a buddy. I was down in the stands. I was walking back up, and some guy kind of just stopped me, and we started talking. And then State started winning. They wouldn't let me leave the section. They were like, no, you can't go. Ever since you've been here, they started winning. So, yes. Or, you know, one of those, if you're like in a spot on the couch and all of a sudden there's a rally, you don't want to get up. You don't want to do anything. You just kind of want to stay there. I'll do that.
Right. So before we hear from Riley Green, I just want to open up the phone lines at 248-539-9797. We'll ask you two questions. Number one, what is your sports superstition, if you have one? And number two, actually it's 2 and 2A. Would you go and grow a mustache if the Tigers keep winning? And would you kiss another man's mustache? Because, touch another man's mustache. I'm getting the Christian Wilkins and the Raiders thing confused, mixed up with Riley Green. Would you touch another man's mustache like the Tigers have been doing with Riley Green? And what is your sports superstition?
So let me tell you, let me just play Riley Green
by kissing
here.
Another man's mustache, yeah. That's just called a kiss.
Yeah.
They can finish in last place if that's what I got to do. Yeah.
Well,
must not have been the video I saw this morning. I must have missed that one.
Right. Riley Green talked after yesterday's game about the mustache and the players touching it.
Was he pulling a Rick James, Kenny? I didn't sleep on your couch. Yeah, I slept on your couch. They can afford a new couch.
Didn't stomp on his couch. Yeah, I stomped on his couch.
Nah, it's okay. Yeah, I like that they do it. Nah, it's a bad look, really. I don't like it when they do it. No way. if I was on the Tigers, they're like, no, go ahead and touch his mustache. You can go ahead and trade me. You know what? I volunteer. Oh, by the way, according to Evan Petzl from the Freep,
yeah,
Suarez has left the building.
Yes.
So he's headed down to 9-4.
He's headed down to 9-4.
P. Diddy.
Hopefully he'll be a little bit better than P. Diddy.
248-539-9797. David, do you have any superstitions about like your Steelers or any other favorite teams?
Like a favorite hat, something that you always have to wear?
No,
or whatever you've worn for the last like 10 years, wear something new.
I don't currently have one, but I will tell you when I did. And I actually, it was Verlander. Remember, since we're talking Verlander earlier, remember the game 5 he had in Oakland?
Yes.
Where he went into the 7th inning with a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. While I was here working that game, I was actually the engineer for that game in that room over there around the corner here. And we're supposed to switch with one Chuck Keller. He used to work here, was the engineer for the games. There was a Red Wings game on that same day. So he was running the Red Wings game. I was running the Tiger game. And a no-hitter was happening. He was supposed to join and take over for me after the Wings game. The Wings game had ended. We were still in the 5th inning for Verlander's no-hitter. And I simply texted him, I'm not moving. You're not coming to replace me. I am staying in this seat, and I am going to run this game today.
You know what? David, it's funny that you said that because I don't know which no-hitter it was, but it was at Comerica Park, and I was with one of my college roommates, not Doug, and we were at the Detroit Beer Company. I don't even know if it's still there. And I happened to we had tickets to the game, but he was like, oh, he was messing around, and I saw, like, he's throwing a no-hitter. This man is the most superstitious man that I've known in my life. So I'm trying to get him out of the building before he realized it. And then somebody brought it up and we had to stay there. And I was like, come on, it's right there. We can, no, because if we leave, he's going to give up a hit. I couldn't go. I'm like, okay, I'll meet you. No, you have to stay here as well. So yeah, we had tickets. He threw it and we watched it from the television.
Yeah. So for 2 innings, Chuck Keller sat in an empty room. No wings game was over. He just sat in the room. I'm like, you're not, don't get up. I'm staying here. So that's crazy. Right across the street from Comerica, you don't move.
By the way, another reliever has just been moved. Not a big name at all. Caleb Ferguson has gone from the Pittsburgh Pirates to the Seattle Mariners, exchanged for a single A player. This dude, Caleb Ferguson, in 45 games, 3.74 ERA with a whip of 1.085. So he's decent, but nothing spectacular. That's the type of guy I figure the Tigers will get tomorrow or before the trading deadline ends.
A little over 24 hours.
My only sports superstition is sometimes when the Wings were in the playoffs, remember when that happened, used to occur? When I watch the games on television, if they were, and I'd start the game on, if there was two feeds, whether it was Hockey Night in Canada or U.S. National, or whether it was, you know, Kenny and Mick or whoever, okay? Whatever one I started with, I'd stay with that until the other team would score a goal, and then I'd switch back and forth. That would be my superstition.
Okay. No, I mean, we all have little things like back in the day when, you know, State was good. Like I would have like a certain hat, like I would wear it. And when the season was over, like the national title hat, the year they won it, and I had a hat and a jacket, I retired it. I said, I can never wear this again. It's sitting in my closet. I've never worn it since. Said, you know what? That was the lucky jacket and hat in Indy. I was like, I'm done. On the unlucky side, when the Steelers lost to the Browns in the playoffs, the couch that was in my house.
You burned it?
It's gone. I had to get rid of it after that game. It's like, bye-bye, we're getting a new couch. Can't do it.
Let's go to Tyler in Detroit. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. My sports superstition, I actually got two of them. One of them is that I have a pair of Honolulu Blue boxer briefs that are worn for every Lions game. I know it's very weird, but those things are never worn except for Lions game days. And they are washed and clean and ready every time there's a Lions game coming up. And if I don't wear them, they typically end up losing. So that is my one superstition.
So let me ask you this. You don't have what I would do if I was that superstitious when it came to underwear is I'd have a pair. And if they lost, I'd throw it away. And you wear another pair of the same underwear, you know, different that style until they win.
See, funny enough is that I don't, like, every time I've worn those blue shorts, they haven't lost. So I've had no reason to give up on them just yet.
Oh, so you didn't wear them for the playoff game, then, is what you're saying.
You are absolutely correct. And
so it's your fault!
It is my fault. Well, here's part two to my superstition, that I also blame my wife for this, too, because she makes a phenomenal bean dip, and she has made them four times for Lions games. Those four games were the San Francisco NFC Championship game, the game against Tampa last year, and the game against Buffalo last year, and then the Washington playoff game.
Well, now I understand why you want to get rid of that underwear, the bean dip.
Yeah, well, funny. No, the bean dip is no longer allowed in our house on game days. That is, it is
so
banned.
So, Tyler, what happens if one day she forgot and she just made it? Is it you just throwing it out?
Oh, throwing it out, absolutely. Yeah, no, not even risking it.
Wait, the bean dip, not the wife, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The bean dip,
yes.
But just get just get a few more pairs of Lions underwear. So when you know, you can, if they lose, you just throw them out. That way, you don't have to worry about it.
So wait. So you didn't wear them for the Commanders game. Now, did you have these lucky pair for the Niners game?
No, I didn't own them at that point.
Okay.
Yet. So
okay.
I only had them for the entirety of last season. And,
so you wore them 15 times. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. But I wore them only for those games. So it wasn't like I was wearing them days on end from week to week.
Right.
To week,
I understand that. So your underwear basically has never seen the Lions lose, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
We're going to the home opener this year, and I have them already ready. They're sitting there in like an air sealed container. I'm speaking, you know, sarcastically, but
okay, no.
Things are like
and
the
Tyler,
holy grail for me.
Tyler, we're up against it, but I do have a question. If the Lions win, will you get them framed?
There's a good possibility.
it's a good possibility. I don't want to wear them to where, you know, there's holes in them and all this.
I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, you have to frame them at that point.
It would be the first time, though. You know, who knows if those underwear is good for Ben Johnson, because the home opener they play the Bears. So you have
it. Don't jinx it, man.
Thanks for the
call.
I mean,
if it's a Super Bowl win, then they will absolutely be framed.
They should be framed if they win the Super Bowl. 97 won the ticket.
No way in the world.
It's Riley Green talking about his mustache, and his teammates are touching it as they win games. And to me, that's no big deal.
I mean, you would.
I was a teammate. Why don't you touch his mustache? Big deal.
First of all, if I'm Riley Green, it's like, no, get away from
me. Okay, well, that's a different story, but that's, you know. Hey, you
but
know,
if he's athletes, okay with it, you're all right going ahead and touching the mustache.
Yeah, I mean, there are probably a lot less sanitary things in my life that I probably have touched, you know, than somebody's mustache.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst thing in the world.
David Kenny, are you team mustache or are you team? Nah, I'm not doing that.
Sure. Just a mustache.
Okay.
Touch it, move on. It's one game.
Yeah, no big deal. I touch it.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, you know, guys who will like leave the football tunnel, whether Notre Dame, Michigan, they have that, you know, you think the Howard Rock at Clemson, you think that's sanitary?
No, it's an inanimate object. Okay. It's a rock. I'm not, no.
You're not touching the rock?
Oh, I touched the rock.
Well,
yes.
Well, what's the difference between somebody's mustache?
Because that's a person.
So?
No. I'm not, we're teammates. We don't need to be that close. We cool. We not that cool. That's me.
By the way, your favorite football team, Rico, your favorite professional football team, worked out a running back today. I can't believe he's actually still in football.
I saw that.
Amir Abdullah, who seemed like he was drafted by the Lions like 30 years ago, but he's 32 years old.
Yeah, I saw that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, 248-539-9797. What's your sports superstition? If they started selling Riley Green mustaches, would you purchase one, and would you touch somebody's mustache? Let's go to Bernard. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up in Detroit, Bernard?
Everything is well. I'm in the L.A. Fitness. I just put the weights down, man. You caught me right on time. You're doing that last set.
Okay.
I got a sports superstition for you. Mine is probably crazy. But every time the Lions have the ball on offense, I have to have remote control in my hand. If I don't have remote control in my hand, they're not going to score or win. On defense, the remote control has got to be laying on the bed or next to me somewhere. Can't be in my hand when the other team is on offense. Don't make no sense, but that's my superstition.
You know what? It's yours. As you say, it doesn't have to make sense. It only has to make sense to you.
Yes. But Bernard, if it meant that your team is winning games, would you touch another man's mustache?
Oh, hell no. Anyway.
Thank you. You just don't want your team to win bad enough. That's simple.
I think we'll win anyway. I don't have to touch no other man in no way at all. I heard y'all mentioned touching the rock. Touching the rock and touching the man is two different things.
Correct. Yes. That's my spirit animal right there.
Let's go to Derek in Plymouth. You're 97 on the ticket.
All right, guys. So I'm an offensive line coach, so squatting, deadlifting, that's all my stuff, right? So my superstition, my dog, my firstborn was born 10/27/22. Lions are 35-6 since she was born. So during games, I'm repping squats out for the exact – so we need Jared Goff to play well, it's 16 squats. It's Jahmyr Gibbs, it's 26 squats. I mean, Penei Sewell, let's go 58. I mean, these baby squats, it's the way – I mean, like I said, 35-6 since she was born.
Well, you know what, Derek? Here's the funny thing. You get to take a break now when Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right, he's zero.
He's zero.
Nice. Changed his number.
Squats, man.
Yeah.
Montgomery will give me my 5 reps, though. That'd be good.
All right. So would you touch another man's mustache?
Dude, I'd touch a dude anywhere to get that W, man. Let's do it, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the W. As Jameis Winston says, it's all about eating the W, right? Yeah. 248-539-9797. Jake, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Hey, good. Jake.
Hey.
Jake.
Are you familiar with Frazier's Pub in Ann Arbor?
Wait, say that again. You dropped out, Jake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Said, are you familiar with Frazier's Pub in Ann Arbor?
Yes, I've been there like once, but yes, I've been there.
Well, I went there for the NFC Championship game, and I watched the Lions lose, and I was also there for the fumbled punt against Michigan State, and that is my anti-whatever you want to call it, because I will never watch a game there again.
Okay. So Jake is just like, nope. No. Hey, you want to go there? No.
No. Because it's the bar's fault. That's
why
all.
Why didn't you realize that after the Michigan State thing? I mean, come on now. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Take so long to figure it out?
So, you know what? Oh, he hung up. I was going to say, so if Margot Robbie said, Jake, meet me at that bar.
Yeah.
Meet me at that bar and you're getting lucky tonight.
Yeah.
No.
If she says she will touch your mustache.
Yeah. That's my...
Roberts?
Yeah. Oh, Vern, good evening. What's up?
So when Michigan stuffed Alabama on fourth down, a couple big games against the Lions, and I'm at home, fourth quarter, we're up, no socks. Like, I have to be shorts whenever I'm chilling, no socks. Something about having socks and the shoes on, lost some big games that way, so it has to be no socks.
No matter, well, obviously it was the Michigan-Alabama game, and was in the winter time, so you just took your socks off.
I was at home.
Yeah, I figured you were at home. You weren't outside, but yeah.
And touching another man's mustache is a gross violation of man law.
Thank you.
It's just like sitting next to another man in a movie theater, or like not using one urinal over, like if it's three urinals and you use the one in the middle. No, that's a violation of man law. That's like having another man like bring you a dessert at a cookout. No, there are certain man laws that are not.
Wait, and see, and this is medium-sized Vern, right?
Okay, all right, hold on a second. I get some of the other ones. So if you're at a cookout with Rico, me, Kenny, and David, and, you know, you finished your steak and you had a few, things, and all of a sudden somebody was making s'mores and they decided, you know what, hey, you want a s'more? Somebody brings you the s'more, you're not going to eat it because
The wife can bring it, an aunt, a female cousin, but another guy be like, hey, man, you want me to make you a s'more?
Your kid can bring it.
Yeah, right, your kid, yes.
Yeah, like a kid can bring it. That's just as bad as like, hey, can you bring me a slice of pineapple upside down cake? No, I'm a grown man. Don't ever ask me for dessert in public.
Oh, but wait, but suppose you're going on like a guy's trip and you're like cooking out and, you know, you're like camping.
You know what? Let me answer for Vern. You know what you say? It's right over there.
It's right over there. First of all, we're on a guy's trip. Why do we have desserts? It's only meat and sides. Like, it's only, like, burgers and beans. Who brought dessert on a guy's trip? That's a violation in itself.
Yeah, if you
like,
want something, get it yourself.
Burgers,
you're right.
And then somebody, then you got one guy like, oh, I'm going to bring oatmeal cookies. Man, please leave.
Excuse well, oatmeal yourself. Cookies, I agree, but chocolate chip cookies,
that's a ridiculous
rule. I'm there for
it's absolutely ridiculous.
97 won the